You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Myopia. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
There were once two men, both seriously ill, in the same small room of a great hospital. Quite a small room. It had one window looking out on the world. One of the men, as part of his treatment, was allowed to sit up in bed for an hour in the afternoon. His bed was next to the window. But the other man had to spend all his time flat on his back. Every afternoon, when the man next to the window was propped up for his hour, he would pass the time by describing what he could see outside. The window apparently overlooked a park where there was a lake. There were ducks and swans in the lake, and children came to throw them bread and sail model boats. Young lovers walked hand in hand beneath the trees, and there were flowers and stretches of grass. Games of softball. And at the back, behind the fringe of trees, was a fine view of the city skyline. The man on his back would listen to the other man describe all of this, enjoying every minute. He heard how a child nearly fell into the lake, and how beautiful the girls were in their summer dresses. His friend's descriptions eventually made him feel he could almost see what was happening outside. Then, one afternoon, the thought struck him. Why should the man next to the window have all the pleasure of seeing what was going on? Why shouldn't he get the chance? He felt ashamed, but the more he tried not to think like that, the worse he wanted a change. He'd do anything. One night, as he stared at the ceiling, the other man suddenly woke up, coughing and choking, his hands groping for the button that would bring the nurse running. But the man watched without moving, even when the sound of breathing stopped. In the morning, the nurse found the other man dead and quietly took his body away. As soon as it seemed decent, the man asked if he could be switched to the bed next to the window. So they moved him, tucked him in, and made him quite comfortable. The minute they left, he propped himself up on one elbow, painfully and laboriously, and looked out the window. It faced a blank wall. My, such myopia! He was so short-sighted that he couldn't see beyond his immediate problems. Unlike the other patient, the hero of the story, the one whose imagination went beyond the obstructing wall, this pathetic character didn't have a vision that transcended his bodily problems. The story comes from the popular collection of stories called Chicken Soup for the Soul, and it prompts me to ask this question. Do you have a faith that provides a vision of the good God has waiting for you? Do you know how to see beyond the walls of your life? You and I are living in a society where most people get their vision from television. And that's ironic. Despite the name television, which means a vision from far away, our television-saturated culture does not have a far-reaching vision. TV doesn't enable us to look beyond the walls. Our television-saturated culture encourages us to be short-sighted, myopic. Take commercials, for example. The average TV set is on 7 hours a day. Throughout those 7 hours, there are commercials telling you about a problem you have and then offering an instant solution. Well, almost instant. You do have to buy the product. And then your problem quickly becomes history and you're sure to be happy and fulfilled. So, if you wake up with morning breath, use a mouthwash and everyone will be delighted to see you. Or, if you're concerned about automobile safety, buy an expensive foreign car and your fears will be history. Again, if you're not getting the most out of life, the problem might well be that you are using the wrong soap. And so it goes. Now, each product probably does what it was designed to do. But the products pitched on TV don't solve the major ongoing problems of your life. Illness, hospitalization, nursing care, marital strife, separation, divorce, reconciliation, unemployment, overextended credit, bankruptcy, guilt, anxiety, depression, the commercials seldom, if ever, solve these problems. Even if commercials address these problems, they often do so to help the sponsor more than to help you. In fact, many commercials make your problems more difficult because they lead you to believe that there is a quick material solution to your problem. How naive can we be? The vision of television is usually short-sighted. TV does not teach us to see beyond our present problems, to look beyond the brick walls. My myopia. God's Word, the Bible, is far more realistic. The Word of God comes to you from the omniscient God, the God who knows everything, past, present, and future. Therefore, His Word offers you insight for the future like nothing else can. The Word of God comes to you from the Almighty, the all-powerful God. Therefore, it tells you about Him who can do far more exceedingly than all we ask or think. The Word of God comes to you from a gracious God. Therefore, you'll find the Word of Him who deals with you according to His kindness in Jesus Christ and not according to your sins. The Word of God comes to you from the Heavenly Father, who gave His only Son, Jesus, for you. Therefore, it is the Word of a Father who is obviously and earnestly interested in your well-being. Because it is the Word of a faithful God, He will not renege on His promises to you. When the teachings of God's Word are used, when you turn off the TV and open the Bible, God will cure your short-sightedness and assure you that blessings await you which eye has not seen nor ear heard. Here we are not speaking about an imaginary garden, as our friend envisioned in his hospital bed, but about unexpected present blessings and a heavenly home which God has prepared for you. An excellent demonstration of our normally myopic sight versus visionary faith based on God's Word is in the Old Testament book of Numbers in chapter 13. The children of Israel had been rescued from hundreds of years of slavery in Egypt. With amazing miracles, God had led the Israelites through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, and to the edge of the land He had promised to give them. Now it was time to occupy that new land of Canaan. In Numbers 13, verse 2, God says, "Send men to explore Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of their ancestors' tribes." The Bible then tells us that 12 spies were selected. The Bible goes on to tell what happened. So the men explored the land from the desert of Zin to the border of Hamath. When they came to the Eshcol Valley, they cut off a branch with only one bunch of grapes on it. They carried it on a pole between two of them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. So they called that valley Eshcol, which means bunch of grapes, because of the bunch of grapes the Israelites cut off there. 40 days later, they came back from exploring the land. They came to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel. They gave their report and showed them the fruit from the land. This is what they reported to Moses. "We went to the land where you sent us. It really is a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's some of its fruit. But the people who live there are strong, and the cities have walls and are very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the mountain region, and the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and all along the Jordan River." The men who had gone said, "We can't attack those people. They're too strong for us." So they began to spread lies among the Israelites about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored is one that devours those who live there. All the people we saw there are very tall. We felt as small as grasshoppers, and that's how we must have looked to them." They could only see the walls, the obstacles, My opia! Would God have rescued them from Egypt only to abandon them at the threshold of their new home? Would God have humbled the mighty Egyptians for the purpose of letting His new people perish? Would God have revealed His will and His ways to Israel on Mount Sinai and then not stuck with them? The answer is an obvious no. Just as God was going to see His work with Israel through to completion, and God did keep His promise and bring Israel into the promised land, so God will bring true followers of His Son Jesus Christ through present problems and into a better tomorrow. Did God send His Son into the world to be your Savior, only to leave you in the lurch now? Did Jesus keep the Ten Commandments perfectly for you? And did He suffer God's punishment for your sins, only to leave you alone and without hope? Did Christ earn a place for you in heaven, only to let your present problems and obstacles overwhelm you? Has the good news of Jesus Christ been printed and proclaimed for any other purpose than to give you a faith that looks beyond the immediate problems to a blessed eternity? Again, the answer is no. The God who has begun His good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. That logic convinced two of the spies to issue a minority report. The Bible says at the same time, two of those who had explored the land, Joshua and Caleb, tore their clothes in despair. They said to the whole community of Israel, "The land we explored is very good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us. This is a land flowing with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. We will devour them like bread. They have no protection, and the Lord is with us, so don't be afraid of them." That was vision. It was not based on what they saw, but rather on what they believed. Their outlook didn't depend upon their strength, but on the Word of God. How did the children of Israel decide? The answer is in Numbers chapter 14, verse 10. The whole community of Israel talked about stoning Moses and Aaron to death. They rejected the minority report. They accepted the myopia of the majority. They wanted to kill Moses and Aaron for leading them out of Egypt. For that disobedience, God made the short-sighted Israelites wander in the wilderness for 40 years. What will you do? Like the majority in the Bible story, like that pathetic character in the hospital, will you be short-sighted in your outlook? Will you go on believing that commercial products are the way to transcend the obstacles that are troubling you? An early critic of the subtle influences of television, Neil Postman estimates that the average child has seen 500,000 commercials by age 18. Are you going to continue letting commercials influence you, your children, and your grandchildren? The better alternative is to read and hear the realistic Word of God each and every day, indeed several times a day. So I ask you, will you use that Word so that you might live by visionary faith rather than by myopic sight? Or do you want to be a ludicrous, a pathetic Mr. Magoo? Until next week, every time you see a commercial, ask yourself, what are you doing to see beyond the walls? Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.